Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of the world of music, including concert reviews, this week in music history, and what we are bringing you today, a great album review.
It's going to be brutal.
And along with me, as always, is Greg Harvey.
Hello.
And Jake is not with us tonight, but he is with us here in spirit.
He's head banging in spirit.
So we decided after a bit of time, to just life gets in the way, you know, and we're just busy doing stuff, and Greg's working a lot, and I'm working a lot, and Jake's working a lot.
We were hoping you just wouldn't notice.
But we got back together because we wanted to bring you a nice album review, and I'm bringing you something a little heavier than normal.
Yeah, is this like Cirque du Soleil? Is that what you said?
No. This is a band called Carnivool.
Ooh.
Now, let me give you a little bit of some backstory here as far as how I found out about Carnivool.
Yeah, I don't know anything about these guys.
Okay, so they're an Australian band from Perth, Australia.
Okay.
Now, you may ask yourself, how in the world did Brian find out about this random band from Perth, Australia?
If this was
they've got like zero American audio or radio play at this time.
If this was like episode one, then yes, I might have asked that question.
Yes.
But at this point, go ahead.
So the reason that I found out about this band was because of Australian Idol. The Australian version of, you know, American Idol, which was the American version of Pop Idol, which was the British TV show. And they, on Australian Idol, they go through the typical things. It gets to the final weeks, you know, and they have Rock Week. Mm-hmm. And this girl gets up there and she sings this song. And they're like, oh, she picked a band from Perth, Australia. And this is Themata from Carnivool. And it's like, and they say it in their Australian accent. And so it's like, oh, Carnivool. Like, that's kind of an interesting name, you know, as far as like, you know, this band.
Yeah.
And they play this, she plays this song and sings this song, and she kills it. And I was like, man, that's a really, really good song. And it's really heavy too. And it was like the first time that I'd ever heard anybody do some kind of like metal-esque song on an Idol program.
Did she do like the beautiful version though?
Well, when you listen to the band, you'll understand what, because it's not screaming. This dude actually does sing. And, you know, he doesn't do a lot of like, the band is definitely has metal tendencies. The lead singer sings in just this cool way.
Are they like an Australian Dream Theater?
I don't actually know what Dream Theater sounds like, so I can't make that comparison.
I'll tell you.
So this girl gets up there, she sings, she does a pretty good job, but I was like, man, this is a really cool song. And I seriously spent like an hour or two even searching for this band in the days of MySpace, trying to find this band. And I had no idea how the name was spelled because I didn't have subtitles or captions or whatever, so I couldn't go off of that. And I kind of just had to go through and find lyrics that I recognized and try and search for them in Google.
Wow.
And then when I actually ended up finding the band, I found them on MySpace and I listened to them. Weirdly enough, if you remember in the days of MySpace, you had your top friends, right?
Tom.
In their top friends, they had another one of my favorite artists that everyone came to know much, much later on after he released his third album, and that was Gautier.
Gautier.
Of course, Gautier with somebody that I used to know, the super smash hit from like 5 years ago. But 5 years before that is when I found Gautier because I found Carnivool.
Wow.
So when I listened to the song that Carnivool recorded, as opposed to the Australian Idol version of it, I was blown away by how awesome it was. And so from that moment on, I've been listening to it to the point where I have shown my other friends and I've gotten some of them hooked on it. And even when Carnivool actually came through town once, they have come through St. Louis town.
St. Louis?
Yes.
Okay.
Once. And they played at Pops. And it was like
in Sauget, Illinois.
Yes. So they weren't actually in St. Louis. So it's like they were on the one like side stage, you know, not like the main stage that's at Pops, like near the bar. So they didn't even open up like that's in that section.
That's like the little corner wedge.
Yes, the corner wedge stage.
That's,
and mind you,
that's like actually the edge of the full stage.
There's five guys in the band, and so like they packed that stage pretty well. And I went with my buddy. His name is David, and actually he is my co-host on Grab Your Popcorn Now, the other podcast that I'm hosting.
Boo, this podcast, not your other podcast.
So he goes there, and he brings along his then-girlfriend, and they are now married, so you can tell that that relationship has lasted. Brings her along, and she doesn't really know what to expect from it. They play the first song in their set, and I look at her, and the look of sheer shock on her face at how awesome it was amazing. And it is one of my favorite memories of her because she's got that look and she's just like, what was that?
Well, I think we all know one of your biggest, like, where you get the most satisfaction in life is when you introduce people to music and then you stare at them as they're like, oh, because that's exactly what happened at Way Back Point Fest last year.
Yes.
You were just like, I had so much fun because you had so much fun. Exactly. That's Brian Crock right there.
Yes. And that is what I truly, truly do love. So I'm doing Carnivool today, and I'm doing Themata, their album that they had just released before me finding out about it. But the band has been together since about 1998, where they met in high school, mind you. They recorded Themata in like 2004, between 2004 and 2007. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, it's like
Themata was released in 2005. So, February 7th, 2005.
It's going to be emo.
And they went on tour with that one, with that album, but they've done another album, Sound Awake, which is another really great album. Asymmetry was released in 2011. And that was basically the last thing that they've done. Although they have released on social media that they are recording another album. And it's mainly because the other musicians have gone off to do some other projects and stuff. The lead singer is in another band called Birds of Tokyo, which is a really good band, but they are more pop oriented. And so I'd love to do a review of their album whenever I get a chance. But I wanted to bring you the first album of Carnivool that I listened to that floored me.
All right.
And you know, that was Themata. And the first song on this album is called, I actually don't know how to say this, Cote or Cote. I don't exactly, C-O-T-E.
Frustrates me.
Wow, that sounds like 2005. Holy cow.
Yeah, but man, is that not a well-made song?
That's really good. Gosh, it's just that style. Like, I like the crazy kind of offbeat on time.
Yeah.
Stuff. I mean, that was so like high school for me. Holy cow. Well, I didn't realize that this was like an older album. You can tell that he sounds a little bit younger. They sound like they're a little bit fresher faced here. But really good. Like, I can understand why this would really grab your attention.
Yeah, yeah. So, but let's go ahead and move on to the title track of the album.
Ooh.
And that is Themata. It has a long intro, as these guys love to do. But I think that you will enjoy it either way, because we're going to play a good chunk of this beginning, at least to the chorus.
Okay.
I got to get to the chorus. But here is Themata. That is Themata.
Yeah, that one's dope. That one is dope.
So that was the first song I heard of theirs.
Okay.
That was the one that the girl sang, and I was like, man, that's a good song. And then when I found it later on, I was like, holy cow.
Finally ties the story back together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. Yeah, that was really cool. It's interesting. That really reminds me of like some Disturbed, like back in the day, and like Breaking Benjamin and stuff. It just really takes me back, just that sound of it. And they're really good. I'm kind of surprised that maybe like we hadn't heard of them more here in the U.S., especially back then.
Well, that's what I thought was also amazing, is that, I mean, in Australia, these dudes sell out stadiums.
Okay. All right.
And in America,
I believe you,
there were 60 people at Pops.
Oh.
For a four-band, like,
man, that's so sad.
Marketed thing. And it was just like, oh my God. it kind of just killed me, because I was angry that, like, why is this place not packed for this awesome
we're
band?
We're not worthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I saw an awesome band at Firebird once that I felt the same way. It was the same situation. They were from the UK. They were called Sonic Boom 6, and they were so good. They were so good. They were like a ska band, but they were fantastic and, you know, very poorly attended because nobody had heard of them.
Yes. All right. So let's go ahead and get on to the next song, which is called Shutter Speed.
Woo!
Leave me alone. I'm seeing. I search for the truth and love.
Shutter Speed.
I like that. That was also dope. I like the gin 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 gin. We call those gents. It's like D-J-E-N-T-S.
Makes sense, yeah.
Gent, 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 gent. No, that was awesome. That was the song earlier that I said how much I really liked it, too.
Yeah.
Shutter Speed?
Shutter Speed.
Shutter Speed.
Yeah. It's really tight. Which is one of the things that I love about this band is that all of their music is just very well put together. And they've only gotten better at it in later albums.
Yeah, this guitar player is ripping up and down those scales.
Yeah.
Just good. He's very fluid.
Yes.
Fantastic.
All right, on to the next song, which is called
Yes, Please.
Fear of the Sky. Was Fear of the Sky.
There is something so unique about these guys, but yet also so like comforting and familiar about them too.
I've heard them described as that before.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard them before.
But you haven't.
But I haven't. But like, I feel like this is music that I would actually add to my playlist.
Yes.
For sure.
All right. So, a little preface for this next song.
Uh-oh.
This next song is called Rockford.
Rockford, Illinois?
Not Rockford. Like the cheese. R-O-Q-U-E-F-O-R-T. Rockford.
Oh.
Okay. There is a version of this song that exists out there that has a marching band horn section in it.
Okay.
That is my favorite version of this song.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't have that song. I have this version, which was on the album.
Oh, the album version. Ugh.
Which is still great.
Yeah.
But I just want to let you know that there is another version. There is, it's the same song. It just has the horn section put over it.
Find it.
And it's amazing.
Find it and play it at the end of this podcast.
Yes. Find this song and then play it.
No,
trust me.
No, you, Brian.
Well, I can certainly try. I just don't know if I can. I might be able to. If I can, I will. Okay?
If you hear it at the end of this podcast, you'll know if Brian did
it
or not.
Yes. But here is Rockford, which is song number 5 on this album.
We'll be right back.
So that's Rockford.
Rockford.
Yes.
Awesome. That's another good song. I really like that. Man, I really like the tone on that song. I liked the guitar tone, and then when the bass came in and it was really thumping, I loved the bass tone.
Yes.
That's one thing about this, is that the recording quality is really good, and it's very tight. Every instrument's very crisp and clear.
Yes.
And everybody's really talented at their musicians. I've really been enjoying this bass player, kind of like, because he you can hear him like walking around up on some of the higher frets, especially too.
There are weirdly like some like world music influences, and there are some almost jazz influences in the way that some of the instruments play. It's just I don't know. This band, like I said, they floored me when I heard them, and every time I listen to this album, it's just like, man, this band is so good together.
I do feel like they must take a lot of influence from Tool or a band like Tool.
I'm sure they do.
I mean, because even sometimes when the guy sings, it kind of reminds me of a Tool song.
Yes. All right, so let's get on to the next one, which is called Lifelike. Yes.
I could be in a mosh pit at Van's Warped Tour right now.
I know.
See,
now that one.
People crowd surfing? Yes.
That one reminds me a bit more of like Korn almost.
That sounds like Disturbed right there.
Or Disturbed.
That
yes,
one sounds
yes.
like Disturbed. Even like the shooba doo 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 doo. Shumma na 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 na.
Yes.
I don't know. There was definitely a familiar rhythm to that one. And like, I don't hold that necessarily against them, because I think that they wrote their own original song that sounds really good.
Yes, yes.
And
I mean every band is influenced by somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it is.
And I don't even know, I mean, you know, Disturbed could have been like, oh, have you heard these guys in Australia? They're pretty good. I like them. So
yes, yes.
I don't have enough context to be making such
true
statements.
But I mean, even if it is the comparison, I mean, it's a comparison that's good.
I'm comparing them to a band that sold a lot of albums.
I mean, we aren't saying they're derivative. It's just like, you know, oh,
they
like
stole this from
this song sounds like, you know, this other band, but that's a good thing, because
rip off.
Yeah, I'm not ever going to say that about this band, because they have proven themselves to be creative, and I mean to the nth degree as far
they
as
they are
concerned.
Good. One thing I noticed, especially given the time frame that this album came out,
yes.
is how like they were rocking and then they had a breakdown, but it was like kind of one of those weird like breakdowns.
Yes.
Like where I don't know, it did like some kind of like lighthearted little like or weird boo doo 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 is like moment where they did a fill almost.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Not, again, in a bad way, but just in a, like, that's how they put their little creative signature on
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
You know?
All right, so next song is called Scarabs.
Ooh.
Like, you know, the Egyptian, like, scarabs. Those
little
like
dung beetles.
And actually, that's the on the cover of the album, there's, like, a scarab beetle, I think, on there. And I think the Mata has something to do with that, so. But here we go, Scarabs.
I just think of the freaking movie The Mummy. Not the new one.
We'll be right back. It's actually just music, so.
That's tight. That one was really cool. Sounds a little bit like Primus.
Yes.
Especially the boom, boom, boom on the bass there.
Yes, absolutely a bit like Primus.
Yeah, that was cool.
And if you like Primus, please check out our review of Fizzle Fry, right? That's the name of the album.
Yeah, I think that's the one
we did.
I wasn't there.
Oh, that's right.
I'd love to have been on that one.
Yes, we did it with my buddy Carl, who brought it on for that one.
Yeah, I feel like Carl probably would have been a better one for that.
Oh, he's a massive,
I just would have been
he's
like,
a massive fan of theirs.
Yeah,
so.
I just would have rocked out, but I wouldn't have been much help.
All right. So we had that one. Nice.
That was sweet. That's another moshable song.
Yes. And the next one is called Sown and Silent.
Wait, what was that? Oh, that last one was Scarabs, right?
Yes. And this one is Sown and Silent.
Okay.
It's a nice mellow song.
Yeah, that was chill.
Yeah. So that, it's pretty nice. It builds up a little bit more towards the end there, but it kind of stays in that realm. You know, kind doesn't get super heavy like the previous songs.
That's like a moment to breathe after.
Yeah, well,
the last
I mean, after
song.
Scarabs, obviously. So, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those songs that you kind of just have to put it on an album anyway. It's like it's a nice breather for the heavier stuff.
And it transitions the album as a whole.
Yes, yes.
It's, you know, maybe, I don't know, I haven't heard the whole song yet, but, you know, on its own, I'm sure it's a good song, but it's also there for a reason.
Yes.
You know, that transition.
And not to mention, this is one of those things where you can tell that that Ian is, the lyrics that he writes are generally very poetic and have, they seem to me like they've got a deep, kind of personal meaning to him, which is really cool because if you break down the lyrics for the different songs, it's not just like him screaming about something. Like there's a reason for every lyric that he does. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way it seems to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He could have written everything high and completely, you know, not remembered any of it.
Wouldn't that be a bummer?
Yeah, it would be. But it sounds to me like all of the lyrics at least have some kind of meaning to him, which I really, really enjoy. The next song is called Mausium. 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 Yeah, Mausium. Let's go with Mausium.
Yeah, that's a pretty chill track.
It's got some good hammering hits to it, But yeah, it is definitely more of a subdued song than some of the other ones that we have currently played.
I'll be honest, I don't know if I would sit and listen to that whole song. I mean, especially after some of the other ones I've heard.
Yes.
I don't know. I might get impatient and switch it. It depends on how long the car ride is.
Yes. I mean, that's for me, this is a car album. This is the album that I listen to.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to go out I hear this in my car.
When I literally actually listen to this album, like, for the first time in its entirety, driving to Chicago.
Yeah. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yep. Just drive to Chicago. Why not?
I want to go back. I'm going to go listen to that Scarab song in my car, like, on the way home. Listen to it in my sound system.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to that.
On car sound systems, they sound amazing.
Yeah. So. And the... For some reason, my Mitsubishi came with a subwoofer built in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get on to track number 10 here, which is called...
Not just any subwoofer, by the way.
Synops.
Real one. Synops. Here we
go. Synops. Here we go. To know if I'm telling a lie, treading with a beast that I cannot hide. Running with a smile is better than the last time that I tried.
Wow.
I know, and it builds really well.
I know
after
you faded it out there. It almost sounded like that was the end.
No,
I assume it
was not.
Yeah.
It still continues on for a good bit there.
And it comes to a big crescendo, I hope?
Yes, it does.
Woo!
It gets much bigger. But yeah, that's one of those songs that I do love. It kind of is in a similar vein to Themata, the title track, because it's got some of the same chords.
Yeah.
But it... and he just sings it so well. And the fact that he, like, all those background vocals too, those harmonies that go with him. That's why I love it. It's such a tight band. And then to have these vocals with these great lyrics and then this great harmony part behind it in certain places to add this artistic flair. I love it.
Yeah.
I love this album.
A lot of sound going on. And I will say I've always been quite fond of, like, the songs that essentially build up. You know?
Yes.
Because this one, just that first little riff of, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yes.
And like I said, I presume by the end of the song, it's, like, just crashing down on you, you know?
Yes.
And I would really look forward to going back and hearing the full track for that reason, because I love when you have that big build-up over the whole song.
Yes.
But it's got to pay off, I swear to goodness. If it doesn't pay off, I'm done, man. That was the one time I'm listening to that stupid song. I hate when they build it up and there's no, like, I just want it to rock, just kick ass for, like, a measure or two, and then I'm satisfied.
Yes. All right. So I'm skipping the next one because it's only 20 seconds long. Oh. And going to the final song, which is called Change Part 1.
But it's last song?
Yes. Oh. So here's where I actually thought this was interesting. Because if you listen to Change Part 1 and it goes to the end of Part 1, the chord that they fade out on is like the first chord of the first song. And so if it loops back around again, you're basically hearing the exact same chord fade out as then it fades in and then it kicks into the song.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wow, that's really brilliant. I love that. And then I read this regarding the song, which is from Drew Goddard, the guitar player. He said, we had written about 60% of Change as a whole piece, and we were desperately trying to finish it in pre-production for inclusion on Themata, as we thought it was shaping up to be an absolute cracker. Due to the nature of the song, that the time needed to spend on it, and the time we didn't have, we decided to do the thing that annoyed everyone so much and chop it at the peak of the climax and then finish the second part on the next album. So it wasn't planned the way that I thought it was.
Wow.
It just, that's where they decided to cut it.
Okay.
So this is Change Part 1. A slow build.
Are we in outer space?
See, now here's the deal. This song is only 3.5 minutes long, so I'm actually going to have to cut it off like right here before it actually gets up to any of the actual crescendo to the song, which means you're missing out. And I'm sorry.
Very apocalyptic.
I know, right? But it's kind of a fitting end for the entire album, as far as I'm concerned.
Spooky.
It's like it sort of just sort of simmers there,
it's a
and then goes out, and then that's the end of the song.
But the track before it was a 20-second track.
Yes, that is true. But that's kind of like where this thing goes, and like why Themata is connected to like the other albums that they've done. They've kind of kept a theme going throughout all of their stuff, like
you're
a storyline.
Just play them back to back to back to back.
Kind of, yes. But I did want to point out that, you know, the one thing that kind of really irked me when I found out about this album was the fact that just before the album was done, they kicked out their drummer.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yes, yes. And so, but I did confirm, actually, that after kicking out the drummer, Drew Goddard, the guitarist, ended up playing drums on all but one song. And so that just irks me because it's just one of those things where, you know, you're not supposed to be that great at two instruments.
Well, you know, the thing that really bothered me about it is I get it, but this happens all the time. You got to get a better drummer. So you kick out the one you've had the whole time,
yes,
because he's been your best friend drummer, and now
yes,
it's time that you need a professional drummer,
yes,
and so you replace him, and there you go. That's the beginning of the unoriginal lineup of your band.
Yes.
Congratulations.
So the lineup of this album was Ian Kenny on lead vocals, Andrew Goddard for guitar, drums, backing vocals, and string arrangements, Mark Hosking on guitar and backing vocals, and John Stockman on bass. And then they had some additional people by coming in and doing different things for strings and that kind of stuff. The one song that didn't actually have Drew on was playing drums was Ray Hawkins on track number 6, which is Lifelike.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
And somebody had to do all those sweet samples on that Nine Inch Nails sound and song.
So this was actually their second album. The first album was called Persona, which was just an EP. And then in 2005, they released Themata. In 2009, they released Sound Awake. And so this band has big gaps in between their albums. But each album is just a very well-done work of art, and that's why I love this band. So trust me, go out, check out this album, buy this album, and buy all of their other stuff too. You will not be disappointed if you like heavier music. Some of their stuff, even later on, it's like they've expanded a little bit more to where their extremes are even bigger. It's like their low stuff is really subdued and really like sort of laid back, but their heavy stuff is super heavy.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and that's what I love. It's one of the great things about this band.
Very dynamic.
So that was Themata by Carnivool, an Australian band from Perth, Australia, which is on the west coast of Australia, if you didn't know.
Woo.
And I found them randomly, and they've been a staple of mine as far as my music collection is concerned, and I will buy every album this band ever makes.
So to answer the question, does Australia have talent?
Yes, they absolutely do.
Hey.
So thank you, folks, for listening to this episode of Follow the Sound. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Please find us on all of our social media outlets, on Twitter at iFollowTheSound, and Facebook. You can find us at the Follow the Sound group. We're sharing things and even stuff that isn't just album reviews or concert reviews or whatever, but we're sharing stuff on there just to have group interactions and talk about our favorite subject, which is music. Also, check out Yo Radio at YoRadio.com or download the app on Google Play and iTunes App Store. Trust me, you will not be disappointed, especially because I know I've teased this before, but yes, Follow the Sound is getting their own Yo Radio station, and so we will have that to look forward to in the coming weeks. That's about it. That's all I got. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Greg Harvey.
Good day, mates.
Remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.